Our scripture lesson comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Now recall, y'all, we had Christmas in June last week, so we're continuing on in our theme. This is Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 from the KJV. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The word of God.
Amen. Giving all praises to God, to the officers and members of Ebenezer Third Baptist, to all the fathers today. Amen. We'd like to wish you all a happy Father's Day. And from the preacher lips to my wife's ears, I take that steak dinner, you know. You know, she has plans for me, and we're grateful that she is here with us. We're grateful for the singing of these men today. Amen. It's truly blessed our heart today. We are men, you know, to sing that in 2024 is to say something. And so we are grateful to be a part of this another worship experience. Joseph in the Christmas story is often treated as just some average Joe, just some ordinary guy. It just simply could have been anybody. In fact, I heard someone call him, he was just Christmas Joe. Could have been randomly selected. But when we look at the record, we discover that Joseph was the man that God chose to be in the life of Jesus. God handpicked the father, much like he handpicked the mother. The scripture tells us he waited until Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Their relationship was unbreakable. In those days, to be betrothed was, you might as well be married. It was the same legal binding relationship. The only way to get out of the betrothed was by divorce. And here's this average guy, this Joseph. He was selected by God to be the man in the life of Jesus. And I think that on this Father's Day, we ought to examine his life a little closer. Typically in the Christmas seasons, we don't have time for it. We worry about what the angel is saying. We worry about what Mary is saying, what Mary is doing. Where's the shepherds and who's going to play the part of the wise men? But here we can just take out our time and look at these brief description of Joseph. And maybe in it we can reverse engineer it. If you are a father, we can reverse engineer it for our own lives. But if we have a young man in our life that one day he will grow up to be a father, we can helpfully be a role model and help him on his way. The text is really, really simple. This is all we get about Joseph is that he was a just man. We don't get any lines from Joseph. No, nowhere in scripture is Joseph ever recorded. Even when Jesus was 12, we don't even get an angry word from Joseph. Where have you been? Scripture simply tells us that Mary tells Jesus, your father and I was concerned. We was worried about you. What is it about Joseph? What did God see in Joseph that was so outstanding that he became the man in the life of Jesus? Now, people are always quick to point out that Joseph is not the biological son, and the scripture is clear in that regard. It said when Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. But Joseph was Jesus day one. He was there in Bethlehem. He was there in the manger. He was there when they had to travel into Egypt. He was there when they had to come back into Nazareth. Joseph was Jesus day one. He was the man that God placed and appointed in Jesus' life to play the part of the father. It was his function. It was his duty to be the father in the life of Jesus. Jesus had his heavenly father, but Joseph was chosen to be his earthly father. And Joseph was a just man. What it means to be just in 2024? It means to be honest in your dealings. It means to treat people fair. We all want a just mechanic. You want to drive up. If you see a problem with your car, he'll tell you exactly what it costs to fix it, and he'll fix exactly what he said he'll fix it, and charge you what he said he'll charge. You want a just mechanic. Joseph was a just carpenter, the kind of guy that could fix your table, and what he said what the price was the price. If you called him in to fix your fence, he would look over the fence and charge you a bid and come back and say it's less because I was able to reuse some of the material. He was a man that was never trying to get over. That's a rare man in 2024. We all feel like somebody's out to get us. You always got to be on the lookout. You always got to be careful. You got to always dot your I's and cross your T's. But Joseph was a just man. And God had placed him in an awkward situation. Because in this situation, there was only one thing for Joseph to do. He only had one option. The word of God was clear on what Joseph could do, and the one thing that he could do was put her away. The wedding was off. It was time for him to move on. That was the only provision allowed in scripture. If your betrothed wife became pregnant and you were not the father, you could leave her at the altar. You could walk away. That was his only choice. But Joseph, the scripture says, being a just man, did not want to put her away, but he did not want to make her a public disgrace. He knew this was a woman he loved. And the story she tells that she's with the Holy Ghost, hard to believe. But you have only two options. If you believe her and put her away, then how are you going to be standing before God? How are you going to stand before God and say, the woman that you gave to be my wife, I put her away because you placed her with a child? Or on the other hand, how do you not be obedient to the word of the Lord. I mean, how do you not do what God said do? If God said put her away, no matter how hard it is, how it break your heart, how difficult it may be, it was the only option Joseph had. But being a just man, he did not want to make her an example. He did not want to embarrass her. He did not want to disgrace her. A just man is a caring man. He cares about the feelings of others. He cares about what they are going through. He cares about their reputation. He cares about their integrity. Joseph was a just man. Loving, kind, compassionate, was concerned about Mary. He did not want to dishonor her family. He wanted to quietly make this all go away. But not only was he a kind, caring, but he was also a thinking man. He wasn't ruled by his emotions. You know, a few years ago, I don't know exactly when, there was this push that men get in touch with their feelings. Something happened in society, and it was decreed that all men this day must get in touch with their feelings. And I thought it was a good thing. I think most men do need to get in touch with their feelings. I didn't think that they meant that we ought to stop thinking, though. I didn't know it was an option. I didn't know it was either or. Get in touch with your feeling and stop thinking, or keep on thinking and don't consider your feeling. But Joseph was a just man that considered not only his feelings, but he thought about these things. When you are a thinking man, there's three things you got to deal with. You got to deal with the other point of view. You got to deal with your point of view. But if you are a thinking man, you also have to consider God's point of view. See, I can't just go around doing what I feel, because I have to consider God's point of view. I can't do any emotion that pop up or come up. I got to consider my family. I got to consider my wife. I got to consider my children. When you are a thinking man, you can't be ruled by your feelings. But that's not to say that you're not to be in contact with them. You're supposed to know when you're mad. If you don't know when you're mad, who else going to know when you're mad? Yesterday we was on the park, like I saw some of you for the parade. And, you know, you have to get there early, get your spot. You got to worry about bodily issues, you know. Can't be out there too long, drink, you know. So we're out there, and we're getting hot and getting a little warm. And then it was time to go. And everybody was a little hot and a little warm. Been on the park too long, ain't had nothing to eat. And I'm not myself when I ain't had nothing to eat. So all this was piling up on us, and all of us, we're getting caught up in our feelings. But thank God I'm married to a wise woman. She announced it to us all. Everybody hot and tired. So everybody watch your feelings. And that's how it is. You can't be ruled. You got to know when you hot. You got to know when you're tired. You got to know when you're hungry. You got to be in touch with your feelings to know yourself. But before we make decisions, we're supposed to think about it. Before we make lifelong decisions, before we make decisions that not only impact our lives and other people's lives, we got to take time to think about it. And you can't tell me a thinking man is not a praying man. A praying man is a thinking man, and a thinking man is a praying man. A thinking man goes to the Lord in prayer. He takes his burdens. He takes his concerns. He takes his question. Lord, what will you have me to do? Here Joseph is wrestling with this. But in verse 20, it said, "But while he thought on these things," he was thinking about it, how I got to put her away, but I don't want to make her a public disgrace. She deserved to be married. She deserved a happy life. She deserved to live. But I got to put her away because the child is not mine. But while he thought about these, he prayed about it. And the scripture tells us that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee David, Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now I know Joseph wanted to shout right there. I know he wanted to throw up his hands because the story that Mary had told him, the angel is confirming. What Mary had told him, the child that I'm having is of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has overshadowed me and I'm now with child. But now that same angel, Gabriel, is telling Joseph the same story. All because he took out time to think about it. I know some guys that as soon as they would have heard it from Mary, they would have been gone. So as soon as a buddy, "I heard she's coming back from Elizabeth and she's pregnant," would have never seen or heard from him again. But Joseph, being a just man, a thinking man, was sensitive to the move of the Spirit. And brothers and sisters, I got to tell you today that the Holy Spirit don't move according to no political agenda. The Holy Spirit don't move waiting on no majority vote. The Holy Spirit doesn't wait till the Supreme Court makes a decision. The Holy Spirit moves as the Holy Spirit sees fit. And if you want to know what he's going to do, you're going to have to ask him. He don't ask for approval. He doesn't ask for permission. The Holy Spirit moves as he sees fit. And it's on us to be sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit. You keep reading the story of Joseph in the life of Joseph. You'll find that every time the Spirit said jump, he jumped. Spirit told him to leave Bethlehem and go into Egypt to flee with the child. He left. The angel came back and told him, "Okay, the time you can go back into Jerusalem. You can go back into Nazareth." He got up, packed up his bag. He was sensitive. He was a thinking man. He was caring. And the Bible sums all of this up with just one word. He was just. The Bible teaches us that God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. And I dabble with gardening, I understand the rain. I have to look out for the rain. I try to prepare for the rain. I try to get the soil ready so when it rains, I get the most benefit. And I noticed something about rain. When it rains on everything. It rains on the trees. It rains on my garden. It rains on the concrete. It rains on my car. It rains on the neighbor's yard. It rains on the sidewalk. It rains on everything outside. And that's how God is with his blessings. He rains on the just as well as the unjust. He rains on the righteous as well as the unrighteous. There was some sinners that woke up this morning. Started on their way, a portion of health and strength. Didn't even open up their mouth to say, "Thank you, Lord." But he woke them up this morning, the just as well as the unjust. But in my gardening experience, because of this Texas drought, every now and then I have to pull out the water hose. And when I put water hole water on my plant, I don't get it on the roof. I don't get it on the sidewalk. I don't get it on the outdoor furniture. I put it exactly where I want it. And brothers and sisters, when we adjust, there are some water holes blessings. There are some blessings that God puts in our lives for being just, and he doesn't give in the life of the unjust. See, Joseph was a carpenter. And if you know anything about carpentry back in those days, that meant that Joseph always had employment. Joseph's side hustle was busy. Joseph's main business, Joseph as a carpenter worked on everything. Which means that he was able, always able to give people a deal. Because he understood that God can bless him on the backside. Somebody needed something big and can't afford it. He could give them a fair and honest quote. Because he know that he don't have to make his money off of them. God has some water holes blessings. I don't always have to take advantage of everybody I come in contact, because I can put some of it in God's hand, and God has some specialized blessings for those that are just. The Christmas story reminds us that the wise men came bearing gifts. Can you imagine God telling Joseph to take this international travel with a baby, a small baby? He got to go on international road trip. He got to be a fugitive. He got to run from mad Herod killing babies. He's got on the run and he need resources. And God sent wise men with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay. That's like God just giving them traveler checks, putting them on the road and then giving them a traveler checks to go with it. Say, I need you to travel to Egypt, but here's the money to do it. God has some water holes blessing. When we treat people fair, you don't have to make it on every deal. I have a friend. Well, I call him a friend. He don't understand how much I will pay for convenience. He's always trying to get over on me. And I'm always trying to get over on him, but that's not the point. The point is that I'm willing to pay for convenience sake. He thinks that he's getting over on me. Cause he asked me to put in a little more. If we buy a pizza, I'll buy the pizza. He just got to go get it. And he thinks he getting over on me, because when we get back, he want to eat up half the pizza. But I'm thinking I'll pay half a pizza for you to go get the pizza. I'll pay for the, but he's always coming at me with an angle. Always looking to get it, take advantage. Always looking to get one up on me. And I use that against him because I like convenience. I like him to run around. He think running around doing a lot of stuff and bringing it to me is getting over on me. He get to pick what he want. He get the flavor he want. Get the, you know, he get all the choice. He make all the choice and then bring it to me and get half of it. He think he getting over it and I paid for the whole thing. But there are certain blessings that God has for us that God doesn't have for everyone. Joseph was a just man. He was kind. He was compassionate. He was concerned about Mary, concerned about others. He did not want to make her a public example. He thought to put her away privately. He was a thinking man. That's why I want to continue to congratulate young people pursue your education. It's not about getting the information. It's about expanding your mind. It's about being able to think, being able to learn new concepts. I remember when I graduated from college, as soon as I applied for my first job, I learned that everything that I learned in college was outdated. I took business and administration, and we learned management by objective. That's for 4 years. They taught us how to get at people's objectives, learn their objectives, and then you manage them based on these objectives. As soon as I came into the real workforce, I discovered people were more concerned about their job than your business. People more concerned about keeping their job than growing your business. Which means they're going to do the very minimum they're going to be able to do to keep their job. They're not going to go over above. They're not going to do 150% and just get the same amount. They're going to just do just enough. And so I had to learn all new concepts because everything I learned in college was ineffective, was outdated. But what I did learn in college was I learned how to learn. I learned how to study. I learned how to go get some help. Somebody else knew what was going on. Because we have to expand our thinking. If we're going to raise just young men, we're going to raise just boys, we're going to raise just men of the future, just fathers of tomorrow in this toxic age in which we live, we got to be able to expand their thinking beyond their emotions. And so, brothers and sisters, this morning I wanted to lift up Joseph as a model of fatherhood, the man that God chose to be the father in the life of Jesus. And God made a choice in your life as well. He chose me to be the father of Hannah and Sarah. He chose you to be the father of sons and daughters. And God is still in 2024, in the age of madness, in the age of felons running for presidents, in the age when there ain't no other choices. It's like there's only one person running for president and he's a felon. What are the choices? And in this age, God is still looking, is still calling for men to be just. And we have to model that. Even if your past, your kids are grown and gone and on their own, mine is grown and, well, they grown. They grown. I'm one out of three. They grown. They gone. Okay. They gone. And on their own, not so much. But I think about my grandson. What kind of father, hopefully one day, 20, 30 years from now, he would be. I hope he to be a just man. And if I can do anything to help him in that upbringing, try to teach him that life ain't always fair, but God will make up the difference. The world will give you the short end of the stick, but God got some water hose blessings. That sometimes you're going to get be in a tough situation. But if you think about it and go to God in prayer, he's able to make a way out of no way. And so on this Father's Day, I just hope to remind you that you're no average Joe. You're not just a guy. You're Joseph. In this age and in this time, model that for those people that are in need of father figures. May God bless you and may God keep you today. we want to extend the invitation that maybe someone without a committed relationship with Christ, all your plans will fail, all your come, will you come?
Oh, my brother, we offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister, we will give you brand new life of underneath. Oh,
come, will you come? You can come as you are. Accept or reject. May God bless you this day.